I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them, on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command...
You are listening to the voice of Sir John Gielgud reading Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley. A page from this week's edition of Anthology. This is Fleetwood. Each week at this time, the National Broadcasting Company, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the Young Men and Young Women's Hebrew Association in New York, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. Our guests today, by transcription, Sir John Gielgud and Dame Edith Evans. This royal throne of kings, this sceptered isle, this earth of majesty, this seat of Mars, this other Eden, semi-paradise, this fortress built by nature for herself against infection and the hand of war, this happy breed of men, this little world, this precious stone set in the silver sea, which serves it in the office of a wall, or as a moat defensive to a house, against the envy of less happier lands. This blessed plot, this earth, this realm, this England. Some wonderfully sentimental thoughts of England, spoken by John of Gaunt in William Shakespeare's King Richard II, serve as a curtain raiser to introduce our program of classic English verse. Read by two of the brightest stars of the British stage, Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud. Edith Evans made her first public appearance on the stage as an amateur in 1912, playing Cressida in William Pohl's production of Troilus and Cressida for the Elizabethan Stage Society. She then became a professional actress and toured with Ellen Terry, and this was the stepping stone to one of the most successful careers any English actress has yet enjoyed. Among the many plays in which she has appeared are Back to Methuselah, The Lady with a Lamp, The Importance of Being Earnest, The Country Wife, and The Rivals. In 1946, for her services to the English theater, on Edith Evans was bestowed the title Dame of the British Empire. We meet her now as she reads William Wordsworth's Upon Westminster Bridge. Dame Edith Evans.
Earth has not anything to show more fair. Dull would he be of soul who could pass by a sight so touching in its majesty. This city now doth like a garment wear the beauty of the morning. Silent, there. Ships, towers, domes, theatres, and temples lie open unto the fields and to the sky. All bright and glittering in the smokeless air. Never did sun more beautifully steep in his first splendor valley, rock, or hill. Ne'er saw I, never felt a calm so deep. The river glideth at his own sweet will. Dear God, the very houses seem asleep, and all that mighty heart is lying still.
Sir John Gielgud, our second distinguished guest from the realm of the English theater, is the grandnephew of Ellen Terry, with whom Dame Edith spent her early years of theatrical apprenticeship. Sir John, an actor and producer, is as well known in America as he is in England. Theatergoers here applauded his production of Hamlet in 1937, which is accounted by some critics the finest of this generation. More recently, he has starred in The Ladies Not for Burning, The Importance of Being Earnest, and last year he was seen in the MGM production of Julius Caesar, which is to be re-released during the winter season. Here is Sir John Gielgud reading Ozymandias by Shelley.
I met a traveler from an antique land who said, two vast and trunkless legs of stone stand in the desert. Near them on the sand, half sunk, a shattered visage lies, whose frown and wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command tell that its sculptor well those passions read, which yet survive, stamped on those lifeless things, the hand that mocked them and the heart that fed. And on the pedestal, these words appear. My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair. Nothing beside remains. Round the decay of that colossal wreck, boundless and bare, the lone and level sands stretch far away.
For the first group of poems to be read by Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud, we listen to five sonnets by William Shakespeare. Let Me Not to the Marriage of True Minds, read by Dame Edith Evans, Sir John Gielgud reading Shall I Compare Thee, Dame Edith reading When to the Sessions of Sweet Silent Thought, That Time of Year, read by Sir John. And Dame Edith completes our quintet of Shakespearean sonnets with To Me, Fair Friend.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediment. Love is not love which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with the remover to remove. Oh, no, it is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed. And every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear times waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell all the sad account of far bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.
That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves, or none or few, do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long.
To me, fair friend, you never can be old. For as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still. 3 winters cold have from the forest shook 3 summers' pride. 3 beauteous springs to yellow autumn turned in process of the seasons have I seen. 3 April perfumes in 3 hot Junes burned since first I saw you fresh, which yet are green. Ah, yet doth beauty like a dial hand steal from his figure and no pace perceive. So your sweet hue, which methinks still doth stand, has motion, and mine eye may be deceived. For fear of which, hear this, thou age unbred. Ere you were born, was beauty's summer dead.
From the long, long list of early English poems which have been set to music, Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud read a trio of the best known and best loved. We'll hear Tennyson's poetic lullaby, Sweet and Low, the rollicking So We'll Go No More A-Rovin' by Lord Byron, and Ben Jonson's To Celia, which will then be sung for you by the Robert Shaw Chorale. Here again are Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud.
Sweet and low, sweet and low, wind of the western sea. Low, low, breathe and blow, wind of the western sea. Over the rolling waters go, come from the dying moon and blow, blow him again to me. While my little one, while my pretty one sleeps. Sleep and rest, sleep and rest. Father will come to thee soon. Rest, rest on mother's breast. Father will come to thee soon. Father will come to his babe in the nest. Silver sails all out of the west under the silver moon. Sleep, my little one. Sleep, my pretty one, sleep.
So we'll go no more a-roving so late into the night, though the heart be still as loving and the moon be still as bright. For the sword outwears its sheath, and the soul wears out the breast, and the heart must pause to breathe, and love itself have rest. Though the night was made for loving, and the day returns too soon, yet we'll go no more a-roving by the light of the moon.
Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine. Or leave a kiss but in the cup, and I'll not look for wine. The thirst that from the soul doth rise doth ask a drink divine. But might I of Jove's nectar sup, I would not change for thine. I sent thee late a rosy wreath, not so much honoring thee, as giving it a hope that there it could not withered be. For thou thereon didst only breathe, and sensed it back to me. Since when it grows and smells, I swear, not of itself, but thee.
Before we continue our program of classic English verse, read for you by Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud, we'd like to take just a moment to tell you about next week's edition of Anthology. On October 19, 1950, at Steepletop, her home in New York State, the body of Edna St. Vincent Millay was discovered by a neighbor farmer crumpled at the foot of the hall stairs. With her death, America suffered the loss of one of the most gifted of our modern poets. A woman who somehow was able to hold the human heart in her two gentle hands and breathe upon it a kindness and love and devotion. Next week, in tribute to Edna St. Vincent Millay, we'll bring you an actual recording of the poet reading Renaissance and the Ballad of the Harp Weaver. And as a second highlight, the voice of Miss Judith Anderson reading from Miss Millay's final book, Mine the Harvest, which was published this year by Random House. Returning to our stars, Dame Edith Evans and Sir John Gielgud, we'll listen to a group of varied but very well-known poems. First, The Tiger by William Blake. Shelley's Ode to the West Wind and Break, Break, Break by Alfred Lord Tennyson.
Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? What the hammer, what the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil, what dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?
O wild west wind, the breath of autumn's being, thou from whose unseen presence the leaves dead are driven, like ghosts from an enchanter fleeing, yellow and black and pale and hectic red, pestilence-stricken multitudes. O thou who charioteth to their dark wintry bed the winged seeds, where they lie cold and low, each like a corpse within its grave, until thine azure sister of the spring shall blow her clarion o'er the dreaming earth and fill, driving sweet bud like flocks to feed in air, with living hues and odors, plain and hill. Wild spirit which art moving everywhere, destroyer and preserver, here, oh here. Thou on whose stream, mid the steep sky's commotion, loose clouds like earth's decaying leaves are shed, shook from the tangled boughs of heaven and ocean, angels of rain and lightning, there are spread on the blue surface of thine airy surge, like the bright hair uplifted from the head of some fierce maenad, even from the dim verge of the horizon to the zenith's height, the locks of the approaching storm. Thou dirge of the dying year, to which this closing night will be the dome of a vast sepulchre, vaulted with all thy congregated might of vapors, from whose solid atmosphere black rain and fire and hail will burst. Oh, hear! Thou who didst waken from his summer dreams, the blue Mediterranean, where he lay lulled by the coil of his crystalline streams beside a pumice isle in Baiae's Bay, and saw in sleep old palaces and towers quivering within the waves' intenser day, all overgrown with azure moss and flowers, so sweet the sense faint picturing them. Thou, for whose path the Atlantic's level powers cleave themselves into chasms, while far below the sea blooms and the oozy woods which wear the sapless foliage of the ocean know thy voice and suddenly grow gray with fear and tremble and despoil themselves. Oh, dear, if I were a dead leaf thou mightest bear, if I were a swift cloud to fly with thee, a wave to pant beneath thy power and share the impulse of thy strength, only less free than thou, O uncontrollable. If even I were as in my boyhood and could be the comrade of thy wanderings over heaven, as then when to outstrip thy skyey speed scarce seemed a vision, I would ne'er have striven as thus with thee in prayer, in my sore need. Oh, lift me as a wave, a leaf, a cloud. I fall upon the thorns of life. I bleed. A heavy weight of hours has chained and bowed one too like thee, tameless and swift and proud. Make me thy lyre, even as the forest is. What if my leaves are falling like its own? The tumult of thy mighty harmonies will take from both a deep autumnal tone, sweet though in sadness,
Be thou, spirit fierce, my spirit. Be thou me, impetuous one. Drive my dead thoughts over the universe like withered leaves to quicken a new birth. And by the incantation of this verse, scatter, as from an unextinguished harp, ashes and sparks, my words among mankind. Be through my lips to unawakened earth the trumpet of a prophecy. O wine, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Break, break, break on thy cold gray stones, O sea. And I would that my tongue could utter the thoughts that arise in me. Oh, well for the fisherman's boy that he shouts with his sister at play. Oh, well for the sailor lad that he sings in his boat on the bay. And the stately ships go on to their haven under the hill. But oh, for the touch of a vanished hand and the sound of a voice that is still. Break, break, break at the foot of thy crags, O sea. That the tender grace of a day that is dead will never come back to me.
Dame Edith concludes our program with a sensitive and bittersweet poem written in more modern times, but still a classic in the annals of English verse. The poet, G.K. Chesterton. The poem, The Donkey.
When fishes flew and forests walked and figs grew upon thorns, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born. With monstrous head and sickening cry and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody on all four-footed things. The tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will, staff, scourge, deride me, I am done. I keep my secret still. Who? For I also had my hour, one far fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears, and palms before my feet.
Next week on Anthology, a tribute to Edna St. Vincent Millay with the actual voice of Miss Millay, and as a second highlight, Judith Anderson reading from Miss Millay's last book, Mine the Harvest. Anthology is brought to you, transcribed, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA in New York. This has been an NBC radio production, written and directed by Draper Lewis. Until next week, this is Fleetwood wishing you goodbye and good reading.